Ramsey TV.
Do you remember back in the day, it was like in the 70s, when everybody started riding 10-speed bicycles? It was all the rage. They're also called English racing bikes. By general population standards, they were very uncomfortable, right? They had the bent handlebars. Remember how weird they looked when they came out of here? Everybody said, what the hell are these? Bent handlebars, tiny little bike seat, and they were called English racers for a reason, is that the English use them to race. That's why you come to MZTV for information like this. But what happened? Well, I'm going to tell you that in a second. Welcome to MZTV, the Wednesday edition. I am Martin Zender, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, making sense for a living 5 days a week. I also make sense on the weekend, but only my intimates know that because only they see me on the weekends. So, people bought these bikes and they wondered, why are these so uncomfortable? But I guess we got to ride them. And what happened then in the 80s, in the 90s? Then came the mountain bikes or the hybrid bicycles. And finally, here was a bicycle for the common person. Right, they were more upright. You don't get in that uncomfortable position. Not everybody wants to race like an Englander. So, knobby tires, more versatile. You can take it on trails, ride it on the sidewalk, ride it in parks. And like, and the saying came forth. I remember this very distinctly. Why didn't these hybrid bikes come first? The hybrid bikes, this should have been the bike that introduced people to the wonders of cycling. But instead, people had to go through the contortions of the English racer, the so-called 10-speed, and only then, later, did somebody finally realize, we need to build a bike for the people. A Volkswagen, a Volks bicycle, a bicycle for the people. And so, why didn't it come out first? I don't know. I guess it just wasn't very foresightful thinking. But this begs the question, of course, this naturally leads to the question, why didn't Paul's gospel come first? It's the easy gospel. It's the versatile gospel. It's the grace of God. It's the gospel with not so much pressure on the tires. It's the gospel you can utilize to go over hill and over dale. You can take it everywhere. It's not so contorted. It's not so strict. You don't have to go fast. You can just tool along. Your neck doesn't hurt like this, like you did on the 10-speed English racers. Again, more upright. Why? Why didn't God just bring in Paul's gospel? Well, I can answer this question much easier than the question about the bicycles. I don't know why the English racer came first. But I do know why Paul's gospel did not come first. Four words. Are you ready for these four words? Too much, too soon. That's why. It was too much. That is too much blessing, too much grace. Too soon, meaning that if it had come first, there would have been no appreciation of it. Everything in its time. Resurrection comes after death. If everybody is alive forever right off the bat, it's too much too soon. And what we have in mind here is the happiness of the people. We want people to be happy to be raised from the dead. How do we make people happy to be raised from the dead? I know. Let's make them dead first. Oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that. That's exactly what God did. Let's make them dead first. How do we make people happy to be saved out of sin? They need to be happy that they no longer fail, that everything works, nothing goes wrong. Murphy's Law no longer is the law of the land. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. How do we make them appreciate the deliverance from Murphy's Law? I got an idea. Yes? Let's bring in Murphy's Law. Let's make it so that everything that can go wrong will go wrong. Well, I see it as an unavoidable truth. We must do that. Yes, you're correct. We must make it that way so that when things stop going wrong, it will be sweet deliverance. Oh, along that line, I made a video in Pennsylvania. It was a Crack of Dawn report. And it has to do with this theme of things going wrong. Every little thing going wrong and the frustration therein and thereof. And the sweet deliverance that will come when things start going right. I forget what the name of that video is, but it's really funny. It's one of my favorites. I'm going to link it down here. Go there, check it out. So death, these are foundational and simple principles, but they must be constantly reiterated to you, especially, I think, in light of these two Gospels, because it does beg the question, why didn't Paul just come first? Again, too much too soon. And so there has to be this gradual understanding that flesh and blood cannot obey God, cannot. Because otherwise, grace has no meaning. Grace has no meaning unless there has been previous failure. Previous failure to please God. Then when God's suddenly pleased with you, in spite of what you do, it's shocking revelation. But again, there is no shocking revelation without first the conviction that humanity is done for, lost, incapable, weak, to do anything to please God. But again, that had to be shown on a world stage. And ladies and gentlemen, I feel so sorry for the nation of Israel, because they were the ones God used, and yes, some may say abused, to prepare the way for Paul's gospel. If I can speak as a man, because that's all I got right now, God would probably have liked to have brought out the grace first, because it was always bubbling in his heart. Do you think he just thought of grace after law? Do you think he said, "Oh, gee, I thought this law was going to work. I really thought that Israel was going to be able to do it. Now I guess I have no choice but to bring grace. I've got to bring grace because otherwise no one will ever be saved at all." No, it's not how it was at all. God always had the grace in mind, always wanted to do it. But he had to go through this laborious English racer, bent over, neck straining, butt burning experience called the Law of Moses. He had to sacrifice goats and sheep. I don't delight in it. That's not the Christian God. The true God did not delight in the sacrifice of animals. But talk about long suffering. See, you can't say Israel's long-suffering because they had no clue that they were being used as a before picture. They had no clue that they were being used as a foil against which God would bring grace. And here these people are swaggering around like they're all that, like they're the be-all, end-all of revelation, when actually they're just a necessary foundation for the coming grace of God, which is what God has wanted all along. You might say, no, and I will say the same thing about the fifth eon. The fifth eon is the eon God's driving at. This is the one he wants. This is the one he loves. This is where there's no more death during the fifth eon. I mean, there are still people in the lake of fire, which is the second death, but I mean, no one is dying on the new earth during the fifth eon. Fifth eon, new earth, go hand in hand. God's dwelling with humanity. There's no temple on the new earth, no priesthood. God doesn't like priesthood. He hates it. It's a pain. It's not according to his heart. So why didn't God just come out right away and dwell with humanity? Well, he actually did that in the Garden of Eden. He dwelt with Adam. Wasn't Adam appreciative of it? Wasn't Adam just celebrating in his heart every day that he walked and talked with God? No, not at all. Go through the book of Genesis. Try to find one place where Adam's thankful. One place. I'll pay you $5 if you find it. Adam's not thankful. How can you be thankful if all you know is good and plenty? and that God walks with you and you have access to God. You notice Paul also talks about access to God, but he includes, Adam had access to God, but Paul speaks of it, but he includes a very important phrase in there, very important two words. He says, access with confidence to God. Why the with confidence? Because with Israel, they had no confidence when they were close to God. They went close to God with fear and trembling because God always manifests himself in kind of disturbing ways. A burning bush. That's no fun. Burning bush. Why? Why? It's kind of violent because God's presence was awesome. Why? When Moses goes to the top of Mount Sinai, why the pyrotechnics? Because God needs the people to know that he's awesome. Why? When the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies once a year, is he going in scared out of his linen breeches? Why? Because God is awesome. And if God came out the gate just hobnobbing with us, hey, I'm God, how's it going? You're the God. Oh, great. Oh, so what? Who cares? No big deal. That's exactly how Adam felt. It's no big deal. That's all he knew. This was not a good situation because God is after our good feelings. He wants to give us joy and happiness and a thrill. Thrill a minute, a thrill a second after we're made immortal. We'll have a thrill a second. And the only way that can come is by Murphy's Law killing us down here. It's the only way. So the law of Moses had to come first. And poor Israel. I have to emphasize this. It wasn't according to God's heart, the law of Moses. The essence of the law of Moses was sacrifice of the animals. And God said, it did not delight me, the blood of bulls and goats. So the only reason it delighted him to put his son to death is because that was the last thing. Like that was it. This was the last, if you'll excuse me, the last animal, the last creature to be sacrificed for sin. The one that covered all sin, the last, and it would never be done again. In that way did God delight to put his own son to death because he knew he was going to raise him after 3 days, and he said, after this, that's it. Finally, I can unburden myself. Finally, I can get on to what I wanted to do at the beginning, but I couldn't do because I needed the contrast principle because I care for these people's happiness, and they can't be happy if they take me for granted. They can't be happy if they don't know what it's like to be without me. They can't be happy when everything works correctly unless there's Murphy's Law. So God made sure that Murphy was born. And he was a very depressing guy, very morose, always complaining about everything, like Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh fame. Everything always goes wrong. Yeah, Murph, it does. And thank God for you, my friend, because of that, because of God raising up Murphy, we will appreciate a time when there's nothing but good things, nothing but happiness. You never bump your head, nothing ever falls off the counter and breaks. No, you never stub your toe. You never fall off your hybrid bicycle, or your English racer, for that matter. That's going to be great. But no appreciation of it without it, without the previous. So there's poor Israel. And again, I'm the only guy I know of that says this. And I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. We think, and most people think of Israel as, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the greatest thing God ever did. Let's all bow down before this tiny little nation in the Middle East because it's all about Israel. Folks, no, it's not all about Israel. It's all about grace. It's all about the body of Christ, but Israel was necessary to backdrop it. And people worship the thousand-year kingdom. Oh, we're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to bring our sacrifices. The word of God shall go forth on the earth like the waters cover the sea. It's going to be great. No, no, no. That's just the time period God gives Israel to make it up to them for using them for thousands of years as a guinea pig nation to demonstrate to all flesh that no flesh at all can boast in God's sight. And as a bonus, as a consolation prize, that's it. As a tell them what they've won, Johnny, for being the before picture, for being the English racer bicycle version of trying to please God. Well, we're going to give them 1,000 years. 1,000 years is nothing. It's a little sliver of time in the Aeonian times. But God does that for a consolation prize for Israel. Okay, that's done. Now God can finally, okay, I've laid the foundation. I made the contrast possible now. Now I'm going to lavish everybody with grace. It's going to be great, and people are going to appreciate it now. And even the nations, they didn't go through the law personally themselves, but they learned about it. They knew that there was this nation called Israel that struggled her whole life to be pleasing to God. And God wanted them to do that. He came across like they could do it, like they should do it. Why haven't you done it? Why don't you just obey me, you idiots? That's what God said to Israel. I'm paraphrasing it. And it had to be real. They had to know, they had to think they could do it in order to fall flat on their faces. Instead of God just leaving them on their faces. And now I can finally bring grace. Sorry about your luck, Israel. No, 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 he's more gracious than that. Tell you what I'm going to do. Tell them what they've won, Johnny. Well, because you have been used as a foil for the grace of God, we're going to give you 1,000-year kingdom and a home version of this game. Yes, so. That 1,000 years is for Israel. But it's not, as we thought growing up in Christianity, the be-all, end-all. The alpha and the omega of God's plans. No, no. Couldn't wait to God. Couldn't wait to get done with it. Sorry, Israel. Couldn't wait to get done with you. So that he could bring grace through the man of his choosing, which was Saul, the Pharisee who became Paul the Apostle. That's why. Aren't you glad you were born in this era? You're born in an era subsequent to all this experimentation. God's not experimenting, but he's, I should say, demonstration. That's a better word. Israel's God's demonstration that no flesh at all shall boast in God's sight. And we need to keep that in mind in order to appreciate the grace that we have. Someday, Israel, instead of being all proud, all high and mighty, they're going to understand their place, just like Pharaoh. In a way, Israel's a vessel of dishonor, in a way. This is a thought I've never really had before. A nation of dishonor. They were the corporate Pharaoh. They were the macrocosmic Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a foil for God to show his power, and Israel is a foil for God to show his grace. And they were used by God. Just like Pharaoh was used by God. Israel, as a nation, as a corporate vessel of dishonor. Wow. They're not going to take that very well. I think I'll hide for a little bit.